Okay, so this is our first gathering puja together since the end of winter retreat, and time of transition, it's helpful to reflect on that it is a transition, and how to make these, what any transition skillfully, certainly for us as the community and group here that has been together for the winter retreat, then it's a transition into different mode of how we're living our life. And so for the monastic community, transition. Now there's a couple of the monastics heading up to the hermitage tomorrow. And so even in the monastic realm, there's change. Lay people that have been here for the retreat, some people will be leaving, transitioning back to home situations. But for all of us, there's still change, transition. And for the greater lay community, still a time of transition and change. It's springtime. Just the changing of seasons, changing of circumstances. So that's just bringing to mind how to respond to change in the most skillful way. And as a very simple approach or a simple perspective, whatever we're encountering, whatever we're engaging in, being able to respond, relying on the path of practice, of training, sila, samadhi, panya, that the Buddha laid down as the path leading to the cessation of suffering, ending of dukkha. So that's a simple way, but it's kind of, especially as Buddhist practitioners, it's a very broad and a deep meaning and a extremely important foundation for returning to and practicing as we face the world, or because the world is just as the Buddha, I say, he's asked, world, what is the world? The world, what is the world? And the Buddha is, the eye is the world, the ear is the world, nose, tongue, body, mind is the world. That's the world that how we experience things is the world. Sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, mental impressions, that is the world, and we can be whirled around by the world, or we can respond to it with a training, learning from it, using the circumstances that we're in for our own increased well-being and the increased well-being of others. These are choices that we're making, and to learn how to make those choices skillfully. Also, the sense of I think in terms of, want to be relying on the path and implementing Sila, Samadhi, Panya, but I think it's helpful to reflect in terms of, what are the things that matter most to us? Because on a certain level, there are various compulsions, attractions, habits that we're committed to, and does that really matter most to us, really? Thinking in terms of, say, just like the way the Buddha talks of the worldly conditions, worldly dhammas, praise and blame, gain and loss, fame, fame and disrepute, happiness, suffering. Those are worldly dhammas, worldly conditions. Are those things that we want to be either chasing after or running away from? Does it really matter? Does it really matter to us? And I think that when we reflect, the sense of bringing it into human qualities that one feels, really, really matter to us. And of course, it'd be different for different people, different for the same people at different times. But just sort of thinking, what is it that really, really matters? And these are universal qualities, but I think it's important to make it very conscious, and also recognize that, that's what we're committed to. That's what we're cultivating. That's what motivates us to be here, or if we're not here, somewhere else. It's what motivates us in our lives. And just say something like honesty, that sense of how important it is. whether we're living alone or living in a community or living in a monastery, living out in the world, drawing close to things what we feel are honest, and people who are honest and who conduct themselves interact with real honesty, of course, honesty is a virtue. It is a barami in the sense of, say, like such a barami that the barami of truth or truthfulness. But it's also, the Buddha's, say, especially in terms of our interactions and speech, that's important to exercise wisdom as well in that. Yeah, not everything that is true should be said. And there, it's a there's say the right time and place. There's the right the timing of it is very important. You can say something that's really true, but it's the wrong time, and it just lands very awkwardly. So that paying attention, what's the appropriate time and place and circumstance to say, but still the commitment is to honesty, because you know that sense of being able to interact and engage with each other as human beings, you know, really does rely on trust, in order to interact in a really satisfying way. Because that sense of, you know, in a somewhat different context, I mean, there's a big difference between, say, like gratifying a desire and satisfaction, and satisfying, being satisfied. You know, it's like we can chase after any number of desires and attractions and things that we're pulled to, drawn to, it rarely satisfies. In the same way that one can, you know, it's a gratification of desire as well, in terms of being able to kind of get back at somebody, or you know, have that cutting remark. It's just very clever and put somebody in their place, because one's been steeping in ill will for a long time. But you know, there's a certain gratification, but it doesn't actually satisfy. So and our, you know, our relationships and our own relationship with ourself is you know, really relies on that kind of fundamental kind of honesty and commitment to truth, a sense of really respecting truth. So that, you know, just on you know, it seems something very ordinary or even mundane, but it really does have affect us. So that being able to lift up, it matters to us, and it should matter to have that commitment to to honesty and to truth. You know, in a similar way, that sense of appreciation, and you know, if that's something that matters the most, that sense of integrity. You know, there's somewhat bound together, honesty and integrity, but you know, integrity is you know, certainly in terms of how we engage in our actions and our activities and our how we interact and take responsibility for our actions, and that sense of having a kind of a reflective understanding of consequence, that what we do has an effect, how we act has results, and so that commitment to an integrity of our conduct, and similarly, I mean, there's a say like sila barami, say the barami of virtue, but also say like a adhitana barami, a resolution barami of resolution. There's that integrity that is a part of it, and when we have that commitment to looking after our integrity and really seeing it as that, you know, it really matters, and not in a kind of fearful and neurotic way. That isn't integrity. It's fearful and neurotic. I mean, there's a big difference. And we can feel it ourselves. That has that repercussion for ourselves. It has a similar repercussion with others. And again, that sense of building trust within ourselves and building trust with how we live together. As human beings, because we do affect each other, that's the reality. That's why I say for the Buddha's teaching, one of the foundations of the Buddha's teachings and foundations of right view is an acceptance of the of karma, karma and the results of karma. That's a fundamental law of the universe, and we have a responsibility because there are consequences, for ourselves, we cherish our own well-being and happiness, but so does everybody else. Being able to establish that foundation of a very direct relationship to integrity, because again, the sense of this practice of the path that the Buddha laid out is for freedom from suffering, freedom from dukkha, and not just for ourselves, but for others. Mm-hmm. Think of something else that really say, what matters to us as we go forward, and I think everybody who is here and comes here or takes any interest in the monastery and other waves of Buddhist practice, spiritual practice, peace. Peace matters, and to be how can we actually live a life that is peaceful and not kind of caught up with our moods, sort of moods of kind of, you know, either dislike or you know, attraction, aversion, liking, disliking, moods of wanting, not wanting. You know, those as long as we're under the sway of those moods or of fear, that peace is a peace that allows for a kind of emotional stability, emotional maturity, where one there's a sense of well-being, and of course that, you know, it's part of when I think sort of began the talk is okay, the commitment to sila samadhi panya. That's the peace is part of that samadhi training. I mean, it's a part of the whole training. It doesn't. There's no boundaries in between those things. But you know, as a broad brush element of it, yeah, it's that training of the heart. A commitment to a continuity of mindfulness and focus and understanding the moods of the mind and not just sort of buying into the those flitting thoughts, impressions, because they can be compelling, you know, memories of the past, that sort of aura. As I say, we're facing a transition, and it's looking to the future. And okay, you know, and do we create a bleak future that we're dreading, or a fantastic future that we're all excited about, or is all of that just more proliferation? That peace is elusive to the mind. So it's just how do we that simple appreciation of peace, and there's a sense of, you know, and it's peace is not sort of a mood that one is able to pin down nail into permanent somehow. It's the attitudes of an emotional stability that's able to be recognized. Well, what actually is peaceful. It's like how the Buddha describes predominant description of samadhi or of jhana is a pleasant abiding here and now. Who doesn't want a pleasant abiding here and now? I mean, it. But it takes an investment in the mindfulness, in the meditation, in the sense restraint, and in the making it making it matter. Well, this matters to me. That sense of those qualities of just kindness, that's a pleasant abiding here now. It's being kind, and it's peaceful. It's not sort of fraught with conflict, either externally or internally. Gratitude. These are things that, all of these things that Buddhists are, these are blessings. Gratitude or a sense of the looking on oneself with loving kindness. Oftentimes we'll talk about looking on the world with loving kindness, and we tend to forget to look on ourselves with loving kindness, we can have all sorts of good intentions to relate to the world with loving kindness, but if we're not caring for ourselves, and then it's hard to be peaceful. Yeah. That sort of sense of acknowledging and recognizing the kind of goodness that one is committed to, that something of consequence matters to us. Because that's something that when you think about, well, what is, in terms of personalities, we're all pretty disparate, different, but I think that that's one of the things that both draws us together, draws us to this practice, draws us to this training. And a common element that we share is these qualities of integrity, of truth, of peace, and it matters. It matters to us, and we can both delight in and respect that, both in ourselves and in each other, and that is peaceful. So it's not, which is another element of a clarity that does again. Okay. Clarity matters to us, not clouding the mind with, competing with each other. It's such a strong feature of the world and modern society, and certainly American society. It's this constant competition. And just not buying into that. One can rest in clarity. There's an ease and well-being that's there. The sense of clarity is just being able to step back from or not buy into and not proliferate around views and opinions that tend to be so compelling and that are tend to be very divisive, and whether it's contemporary issues or it's kind of issues of so-called philosophical view. It's just, in the end, it's just more views and opinions, and it's extra baggage that is extraneous to, what really matters. And of course, what really matters is freedom from dukkha, freedom from suffering, freedom from stress and complication. That really requires clarity. Without clarity, without especially, say, like nowadays, modern times, with the amount of information that is at our fingertips, and particularly as we, say, come out of winter retreat, I mean, it can feel like a bombardment of news and views and opinions and perspectives about everything. You think, well, is it really conducive to clarity? How much do I actually need to know? I think that cherishing clarity and what can we be doing? What can we be? How can we be engaging? So that our sense of clarity is fostered, because it's that seeing clearly that really allows kind of a deep well of happiness to arise. I mean, that's one of the things. I say when the Buddha talks of the progression of the path, the progression of practice, clarity is a crucial transition point of insight, that sort of yathābhūtānyānadāsanā, knowledge and vision of the way things truly are. So it's like, it's not an opinion, a view, a kind of accepting on faith. It's not parroting some kind of received wisdom. It's clarity that knows and sees things as they truly are. Understanding this human condition, understanding the nature of the world around us. And so that it's that clarity that gives us the experience of stability, of freedom. So that as we continue and enter this this period of springtime, of post-winter retreat, of engagement with whatever aspects of the world we need to engage with, give oneself the gift of reflecting and recollecting, remembering, well, what matters most, what's actually important, what actually does matter. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.